We are going to be in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4 today. Gospel of John, chapter 4. So we were in a series in the Gospel of John back in the fall. Then we had Thanksgiving, Christmas. So we're going to get back into the Gospel of John, chapter 4. So in the Gospel of John, we had covered, you know, chapter 1, where the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. It's John's version of the incarnation of the birth of Jesus. So it doesn't have no baby. It doesn't have the shepherds, the wise men. It's very theological, okay? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then we look at the ministry of John the Baptist, just some great things to look at there, just how he came. He did what God had called him to do. He even says, you know what? He must become greater and I must become lesser. And it's just a good example that he left for us of how to live our lives in glory for God. All right, and then we looked at Nicodemus. He's the one that religious leader came in the middle of the night, had questions, and that's where we get, we must be born again. We also have John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? So all that is in chapter 3 in his discussion with Nicodemus. The cool thing about Nicodemus, he seems to come to a place where he believes, right? And it was interesting that he was on the ruling council, and he was actually, I think there were some votes that took place, okay? What should we do with Jesus? And it says that he was one of the dissenting votes. And he would be there at the burial of Jesus. And we don't really know where God would, you know, what would happen the rest of his life, but we do know he took a stand with Jesus. He was there at his death and provided a decent burial for him. So, just kind of an interesting thing there. And so this morning I want to talk about powerful conversations. It is John chapter 4. The woman at the well is usually what, if you maybe have that in your Bible, maybe that's what it says, the woman at the well. Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. So that's what it's usually called. So let's, powerful conversations, let's look to the Lord in prayer today. Amen. Lord, thank you for this day. We give you the thanks. And in these moments, I pray, Lord God, that you'd make your word come alive to us. Allow it to guide us, correct us if needed. Allow us to grow, to know you better, and to become more like you. We give you the thanks. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read through some of these first few verses and then kind of get into some of the points. It says, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, right? This is on the Israeli CNN network, all right? It was coming across, Jesus is baptizing more than John the Baptist, and it's kind of like, oh, really? Okay, some tension. Isn't it interesting what John records, right, that you find in the Gospels? Why was that an issue? Well, it was an issue because John's disciples and Jesus' disciples, maybe Jesus didn't want tension there. But also, as Jesus began to baptize more and more, there was momentum. It was catching the attention of not only John the Baptist's disciples, but also the Pharisees. And there was the risk of him being seen as a political movement, okay? And it was a very political time when Jesus was there, all right? And so as those numbers grew, I think there was concerns that Jesus and his ministry would be seen as a threat, a political threat to what was happening there. So John says, although that wasn't the fact, Jesus, he didn't baptize, but his disciples did. But they left Judea, okay, Jerusalem area, and they went once more to Galilee. So that would be in the north. So if you look at your map of the Bible, you'll see that. And we'll have a map we'll look at here in a little bit. But Sea of Galilee in the north, Jordan River flows down to the Dead Sea. All right. And so we see those things. Verses 4 through 6. It says, now he had to go through Samaria. So you could highlight that. You can underline that in your Bible. But it's interesting that John says he had to go through Samaria. Okay. And he came to the town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired, and he was from the journey. And he sat down by the well. If you look at the Greek, it literally means that he sat on the well. And maybe that's what he did. And it was about noon. It was about noon. So it's interesting that John says that he had to go through Samaria, because that wasn't, even though it was the shortest route to get from Jerusalem to Galilee, okay, it was the shortest route, but that route would take you through Samaria. So Chris, if you can put up that slide of the map of Samaria, of Sychar, there it is. You can see where Jerusalem is. You can see where Jacob's Well and Sychar is, and Samaria. The Sea of Galilee, if you take the Jordan River north, is just right up there, okay, right above that map. All right, but so what the Jews would do, instead of going through Samaria, they would go around to the right or to the left to avoid Samaria. Why? Because the Samaritans were a mixed breed. So in 722 BC, Assyria came down from the north, and we still talk about Syria, and that's still part of our geography today. But they came down from the north. They took captive that northern part of Israel and inhabited it. People were moved north. People were moved from the north to the south. And what happened is you had intermarrying that took place, so Jews with Gentiles. Not only did you have that, you had mixed religions, and you got Jewish religion and other religions that kind of got blended in there. And so the Samaritans were seen as impure. Okay? To a pure Jewish person, the Samaritans were impure. They even went as far as calling them dogs. Ooh, that's really derogatory, isn't it? But that's what they did. And so the pure, the devout Jewish people, instead of going to Samaria, they would go around Samaria on their way, take the longer route. But John says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why is this? Because Siri does not understand. All right, I must have said Siri. All right. and so because of that, we sense that Jesus is following the will of the Father. They don't take the route that a normal devout Jew would go. They're going to go through Samaria. That ends them up in this small town of Sychar, where Jacob's well is located. So Jacob, you go back to Genesis chapter 33, you'll see that Jacob buys this plot of ground in Shechem, and that would be the location of Jacob's well. That well is still there today, folks. There is a... And I think I got a picture of that too, right, Chris? So there. It's in the bottom of a church there. It's in their basement. And that is, they believe that is Jacob's well. All right? It's still functioning to this day. All right? And so there was some history there, right? And so this lady is going to, even though she's Samaritan, she's still holding on to some of the Jewish traditions. There's still a belief in the Messiah, okay? But she's a Samaritan. Part Jewish and part Gentile. And so this morning I want to talk about powerful conversations and how they can lead to transformation. All right, we're going to find our first point here in verses 7 through 9. It says, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So there it is, right in your scripture, right? She goes, how can you ask me for a drink? Now, if you would have played this out normally, what would have happened? He would have been sitting there, whether it's on the well, by the side of the well. In normal custom, if it would have went down as it should have, Jesus would have seen her coming, saw the Samaritan lady. He would have probably stepped off 25, 30 feet. Let her grab her water. She would have grabbed her water and went on her way. No words would have been said. They probably would not have even made eye contact. Okay? But Jesus just sits there. She comes up and he goes, hey, can you give me a drink of water? And she's just kind of like taken back. Why? One of all, for first reason, he's a guy, she's a gal. So there was some cultural things there you just didn't do. Second, she could tell he was a Jew. And that she was a Samaritan. She knows that. Jesus knows that. Seems like a simple question. Will you give me a drink? On the surface, it seems simple, but it was a loaded question, right? In fact, it appears that Jesus didn't even bring his own cup. He didn't have his his Yeti glass. All right. How many have your coffee or your water thing here today? All right. He forgot his. And so that meant that he was willing to drink out of her cup or whatever the case may be. By a lot of the devout Jews, he would be defiling himself. But because Jesus asked a simple question, hey, can you give me some water? The woman opened up to him and they started a real conversation about real issues. And the first principle here is don't underestimate the power of a simple question. Whether you're standing in line or on the plane, do you just keep to yourself or do you try to initiate some conversation? And I know there's some commercials about that. It probably represents my generation. But, you know, there's times that I just go on my way and do my thing, right? But there's times where I do ask, you know, simple questions. Sometimes, you know, you can just tell they're not going to give you the time of day or they just keep it short. So, you know, that's kind of like they don't want to talk. You get the hints, right? You have to respect that. But there's other times that, you know, man, you find out some pretty cool stuff. You find out, you know what, they grew up in the same part of the world as I did. Or they know somebody that I know, right? And you can learn some incredible things just about people, and you can have some pretty incredible conversations just because of a simple question. I remember on one flight, I took a trip down to Guyana. I think it was, I don't know if it was my first or second time. I've been down there twice. But I think it was the first time I went down there. I went down there, and so you know, I get to Miami and usually fly from Miami to Trinidad, Tobago. There's an airport there, which is out in the Caribbean, an island, Smile Island. It's a good, you know, people like to go there to hang out and have a great time at the beach. So you land there, and then you go from there to Georgetown, Guyana, South America, that northern coast of South America. And so on the way back, somehow I got on first class. I don't know why I got on first class, but I get from Georgetown to Trinidad, get on the plane, and I'm on first class. I'm first row, first class, right? There I am. And I'm sitting next to this lady, and so there's just two on each side. And so I start a conversation. I just asked her, you know, what she did, who she was. And so her husband directed the public works for the state, for the island of Trinidad. So I think she had some status. Her husband had some status, and she was used to flying first class. And I could tell very quickly that she was Hindu, okay? And I don't know how many of you have had a conversation with a Hindu person. There's just not a ton of Hindu people here. You maybe go to Lincoln, you're going to maybe run into pockets of it, right? But the week before, I had been in a church that was located in a Hindu area outside of Georgetown. And so Indian population is very high in Guyana. So there's two people groups in Guyana. One is African American. They came over because of the slave trade. All right. The other half is Indian from the country of India. They're there, okay? So you have basically the country is made up of two people groups. So the Indians tend to be more of Hindu as a predominant religion. And so I spoke in this church, and it was just cool seeing all the Hindu people walking back and forth down the streets. I preached in a church. It was a full church. Most of them had been saved and had come from a Hindu background. And so and some of the pastors that were in my class were pastors of these churches. And so I learned more about Hinduism that week than probably I was aware of. But we talked. We talked. We talked about religion. We talked about Hinduism. And we talked about Jesus, right? And it was just a very interesting conversation. I don't know where God took that conversation. I've never heard back from her. I don't know how God used it. I really don't. All I know is it was one of the most incredible conversations I had on a plane trip, the one that'll stand out. But it all started with a simple question. And when we ask those simple questions, often God will open up a door to their world, and sometimes they'll even open up their heart to you. So when people don't open up that door and they don't want to engage, you have to respect that. Don't force yourself in. But if God opens up that door, see where God takes it. Now, experts, you have to. This requires active listening or just intuitiveness, okay? What do I mean by that? So when you talk about communication, how much of our communication is spoken word? out of 100%, how much of it is spoken word? Seven percent. Wow. So even me talking today, what I am communicating, only 7% is the words I speak. 55% is body language. 38% is tone of voice. Isn't that crazy? So what do you think Jesus observed that day as that woman came to the well? Even before she spoke a word, what was he picking up on? Was it maybe that her eyes were down and she was avoiding him, eye contact? Was she tired? Was she weird? See, the weird thing is she was, this is, what time of the day was it? It's noon. That's the time you were hanging out at the house in the shade. That was the hot point of the day. Why was she coming there during that time of the day? Well, we think it was because she didn't want to hang out with other people. We think that maybe she was ashamed of who she was. She had a past, even amongst the Samaritan people. And so she came in the heat of the day when nobody else was there. She came alone. What was she avoiding? I think it was her past, who she was. And so that simple question, a cultural norm was crossed, and a conversation started, and Jesus walked through that door. So my challenge is, walk to the doors that God opens. You know, if you say hi to somebody and say, hey, how's the weather today? How are you doing today? You know, sometimes we ask that, and we're not even listening to people, right? Because we just say, oh, we're doing great, right? Right? Okay? And say, yeah, we're doing great. We're lying through our teeth, right? Because something bad has just happened, and we say, yeah, it's going great, and it's not, right? That's where, if we are actually listening, not just with our ears, but with our eyes, we look into people's eyes, we can say, really? Is it really going well? Listen. Walk through the doors that God opens. Ask those simple questions. See where God takes it, especially follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Number two, verses 10 through 26. I'm going to move this along here. All right. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he had given you living water. Okay. Sir, the woman says, you have been nothing to draw with. Okay. He didn't bring his cup. He didn't bring his Yeti. Okay. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, or as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Ooh, he's creating some curiosity. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Not just regular water. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to drink water. So Jesus threw out the line and he's reeling her in. Verse 16. He told her, go call your husband and come back. That's a trick question. 17. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you said is quite true. Ooh. Now it's time to divert the subject, right? Now we're going to talk about something else. Verse 19, sir, the woman says, I can see you're a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain. So she's going to kind of get into some controversy. But you Jews claim the place we should worship is in Jerusalem. Verse 21, woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when all will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So as we're doing today, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman says, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, so she has a belief. She's a Samaritan, but she has a belief in God, in the Messiah, the one that'll come. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I am speaking to you. The one who am speaking to you, am he. Wow. So Jesus perks her curiosity, the mention of the gift of God, the mention of living water, and he points out three important facts: who he was the Messiah, what he had to offer, he had living water, the gift of God, and that she could receive it if she asked for him. He declared he was the Messiah, he had the power to give her the gift of salvation, the living water. You know, water in Israel had three different sources, quality levels. The lowest level was a cistern. Okay, it was water that was stored in these round cement stone things, a cistern. So that was the lowest quality of water. The second quality, going up a notch, would be a well water. So that's what we're talking about here, water brought up from a well. Okay, the highest quality of water was called living water, or a stream, or a brook. It probably came from a spring fed, right? So how many have drank out of a spring, right? You've drank out of a spring. It's fresh, it's cold, it's alive, right? It's just, it's oxygenated, it's fresh. It's called living water. So the passage that Isaiah read, right? David talks about, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul, God, longs for you. We don't know if this is when he is running from Saul, or when maybe he was out on the battlefield, and he comes by a fresh stream, and he has some water. He's parched, he's tired. The water refreshes him. And David knew, maybe it was when he was watching his sheep as a shepherd, he just knew the benefit of having good living water from a stream. He says, my soul, in the same way, thirsts for God, for the living God. Okay? Living water, living God. Where I can go, where can I go and meet with him? You know, Revelation 7:17 talks about that he will lead his people to the streams, the springs of living water. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. So it keeps going on. In our culture, many people have heard the name of Jesus. I think you're going to have a hard time finding anybody in our culture that hasn't heard the name of Jesus. Do they know who Jesus is? Probably not. Do they know that Jesus can forgive them of their sins? Maybe, maybe not. They all have their own interpretation, as this woman did, about what they believe and who Jesus is. And so the second point is, share who Jesus really is. As a believer in Christ, it is your job to know who Jesus is and to be able at least to tell them, hey, Jesus is the Son of God. He came to the world to die on the cross for our sins. Quote John 3:16, right? That he loved the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. To be able just to put it in that small nutshell and say, hey, this is who Jesus is. He is the Son of God that came to earth. He died on the cross for my sins, for your sins. I accepted Christ in my life. He has forgiven my sins. He can do the same for you. Can you do that? That's not too hard, is it? Share who Jesus really is. You could bottle me up and take me wherever you want to go, right? But I don't think that's God's intention. God's intention is that you take what God has done in your heart and your life and you share it with the world around you. You share the living water that is flowing in your life with those that are thirsty around you. You follow me? That is what discipleship is. To take what maybe you learn here, great. But God has placed you where you're at work, at school, in the marketplace, in your neighborhood. God has placed you there for a reason, a purpose, to be a light, to be a source of others, for others, so that they can see Christ in you. Amen. All right, let's bring it home. 27 through 24, just then the disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman. Oh, Jesus is talking to a woman. Can you believe that? And she's a Samaritan. You can hear it between the disciples. They're trying to keep it low so Jesus doesn't overhear them, but they're talking. They show up. One of the disciples had the gumption to say, what do you want, and why are you talking to her? Verse 28, then leaving her water jar, so she just leaves it there, the woman went back to her town, said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done, all my sin. Could this be the Messiah? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. They're kind of like, Jesus, how did you hide that from us? Verse 33, and the disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Jesus explains, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So there is that food that is physical, right? But there's also that spiritual food. There's that nourishment that comes from doing the will of God and that brings fulfillment to our lives. Do not, you have a saying, it's 4 more months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. That mission field had been overlooked. The Jews had gone around it instead of through it. They'd gone around. They had avoided it. And Jesus saying, hey, look, there's a mission field right here that people are avoiding. There are people that are hungry. They want to know the truth. Even now, one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows, another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of labor. Did you know that? You may be the one that's sowing seed in somebody's life, but you may also be the reaper. You may be the one that leads somebody to Christ, and somebody else has done all the hard work ahead of you. You just get to do the good thing and bring them to Christ. Isn't that cool? I think I've done both. I've sowed seeds, and I've helped harvest. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She didn't have an evangelism course. She didn't take my class. I don't even know if she was saved yet. But she was one of the greatest evangelists that we see in Scripture. We don't know how many. It just says that many came to believe. And they urged him to stay, and they stayed 2 days. Because of his words, more became believers. And they said to the woman, no longer do we just believe because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Isn't that good? Number 3, powerful conversations can lead to transformation. How do we know that there was transformation that took place? Because the woman forgot even why she came to the well. She went there for physical water to take back to her home, her family, for herself. But that no longer was important. What was important, now she had found the Messiah. She'd found something spiritually in her life that she'd been longing for, and that became more important. She went back, told the people. They came out to hear for themselves. Not only is her life transformed and changed, but many also within her community. And this story illustrates that God loves all people. I think the Jews believed that, but they didn't believe it. In other words, they believed that God so loved the world to save all people, but that only included the Jewish people. And that would become more evident throughout the New Testament and the book of Acts. But this is an example, and we see that Jesus heals the centurion's daughter. We see examples where Cornelius believes, others, that they come to know Christ. So we see that God, he doesn't care about race, spiritual background, gender, social class, age. He loves all people. He died on the cross for all people. And he desires that they all have a right relationship with him and spend eternity in heaven with God. Amen. May I have the musicians come. Powerful conversations. I think God is able to do that. Some of you are more talkative than others. Some of you, maybe God's wired you to speak in front of 50, 100, thousands. Some of you, speaking to one person is about all that you can handle. All right? And that's okay. But we all have a story to share, right? We can all share what Jesus has done in my life. That he is the Savior of the world. That he died on the cross for my sins, for your sins. Don't underestimate the power of a simple question, especially if you feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit. There's times I'm tired and I don't ask people questions. And if you ask my wife, I'm more introverted. I don't think either one of us are more introverted. You get her in a group, she'll talk more than me. All right. But I was pretty shy growing up and all that. But I've learned just to initiate conversations with people. Not all of them end in transformation, but I find out I've had some good conversations over the years. And you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I've learned that, what does the leading of the Holy Spirit feel like? If I can just take a minute on that. Maybe he does it differently than you. Maybe it's like he shoves you into a conversation or hits you upside the head. Maybe some of you need that 2x4. For me, it's been a very subtle thing where it's kind of like, maybe I should go talk to them. It's kind of like, is it just me or is it the Holy Spirit? And usually I find out that it usually is not just me, that it is the Holy Spirit speaking to me. It's very subtle. And as I walk through that door, initiate that conversation, I find out God was in it. And then I follow his leading. Maybe I pray with them. Maybe I talk about Jesus. What I see is that Jesus was intentional. He was inclusive. He was compassionate. You know, the weird thing is we don't even know the lady's name, do we? She's the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Maybe when we get into eternity, we'll find out, oh, there'll be a sign, woman at the well. You know, we'll get to go and see who she was. Yeah. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, today can be that day of salvation. So I'm going to pray, as I do every Sunday, whether you're watching online or here today. And I'm going to challenge each of us to follow the example of Jesus. Amen? Would you stand this morning? Stand. Hallelujah, God. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. So if this is you, you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I'm going to invite us all to pray together. But especially if you don't know Christ, Romans says that if we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So let's pray together saying, Dear God, come into my heart, into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. And walk with me each day of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, this morning, each one of us here has a story to tell. And Lord God, I pray that you would lead us into conversations with people. And I know some of us were scared out of our mind, but that's why you've given us your Holy Spirit, to strengthen us, to give us a boldness. God, if it's just of us, then it's probably useless. But Lord God, you've given us your Holy Spirit to give us that boldness, to share Christ, to be a witness. Hell's a real place. It's a real place. And there's people that are going to go there. Some maybe had a witness. Maybe some of them had a choice. But how many never had somebody that just was willing to give them a good presentation of the gospel and say, hey, do you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior? God hasn't called us to save. He's just called us to share the gospel. He's the one that saves. And so, Lord, we just pray for open hearts. So, Lord God, I just pray for each one here. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, give us the boldness that we need. Lord, it can't be of us. It has to be you, Lord, guiding us, filling our sails with your presence. Give us those opportunities to be a blessing, to pray with people, to give hope, to give courage to people, to be a light in this dark world at times. And we give you the thanks and praise. We ask it in your name. Let's sing this together as we wrap things up here. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to pray for us as we go. Preston had to leave early. It sounds like fires around here kicked up again. So we're calling people in. So keep that out of prayer. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Go with us this day. Let us be a witness. Let us follow the example of Jesus. Just having those powerful conversations with people in our world. go before us. Let us follow the leading of your Spirit. Our world is hungry, and our world is searching. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise. We ask in your name again. So here's the deal. Easter's like 3 weeks away. We'll have invite cards. Plan is probably starting next week. And so begin praying if there's somebody you want to invite. Okay? You don't have, you can be the Samaritan woman and just kind of go all out and bring the whole community. So if that's you, just give me a little heads up. But if everybody brought one, that'd be cool. All right? So do that. God bless you this morning.